Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Straight Talk here on the voice of Berks County, WEEU. It's 4 o'clock. You know what that means, folks. It's time for us to have a great interview with a special guest. And our special guest today is Charlene Proctor, and she's the author of an incredible book. Actually, it's a very empowering book, Let Your Goddess Grow, seven spiritual lessons on female power and positive thinking. Charlene, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's exciting for me to talk to you as well about an issue that I know a lot of people in our audience are going to be looking forward to hearing from you. But before we get started with that, tell us about Charlene Proctor. What's your history? How did you get started? Where are you from? All that good stuff.
Well, I'm a former social scientist and an academic, and I used to do consulting for big companies, and I used to be a simulation architect.
Okay.
And what that basically means is we try to find ways to solve problems that don't have an answer quantitatively. So I spent a lot of time in left brain world.
Yeah.
And one day I realized that if I didn't find a way to fuse the segments of my life together that had to do with my ability as a researcher and a writer and looking at women's problems, specifically empowerment, and then to integrate my spirituality and my work every day, I just wasn't going to make it. And that's the day the Goddess Network was born. So we started that about 7 years ago, and we've been doing it ever since.
You know, and it's amazing that you do that. Did you come from an intellectual family, an academic family?
Well, not really. My dad was an insurance guy, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
And but education was pretty emphasized all the time, and I just felt like I never had enough, so I just kept on keeping on until I got a PhD.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so great.
And actually, a lot of people ask me about changing tracks like that, because mm-hmm. for me to go from my old work to the new work that I do, which I enjoy so, so very much, which is a lot more intuitive and right brain focused, and mm-hmm. definitely I'm in spirituality and self-help and personal growth all day, I always say that, you know, every experience is a learning experience. It helps propel us on our journey, and when we get a calling to do something, we just kind of have to surrender and go for it, and that's how I wind up doing the work that I'm doing today.
Mm-hmm. So when you call your book Let Your Goddess Grow, is that goddess within you, or is it is it like an external type being?
Well, we know that God or the I Am, the universe, however you may define that mm-hmm. in your wisdom tradition, there's always something that is present within us, through us, around us. It's to me, it is the all. And although we can't really define the spirit as having a gender, for some people would say, oh, well, if we speak of the all as God and goddess, you know, that's kind of coming into this bifurcating view of what the all really is. I think that there's ideas about how we think of spirit that sometimes lean toward being masculine and feminine. And for me, in the work that I'm doing today with women and women's empowerment, sometimes it's helpful to think about a piece of that concept that we call spirit of the all to be feminine. It makes it more accessible sometimes for people, and it gives it a little flavor, I think, that our culture's been missing.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, because in the book you emphasize, in a sense, that there's a divine in the feminine.
To me, the divine in the feminine really is about the female perspective on matters, the power of intuition, patience, the reverence for nature, the knowledge of the holy unity of all things. And I think that when we try to put those masculine and feminine ideas together, and we certainly see that in our relationships and our behaviors and the way we operate down here on mm-hmm. planet Earth, we want to find ways to make that idea of spirit, which is so amazing and magnificent, which is concept of the divine, just more accessible. You know, traditionally, I think the male principle has been represented by rule and reason and passion for order and structure and science and left brain and control. And trying to see life, I think, today for many of us is about really finding a balanced point of view. So we're constantly striving for different and new ways to achieve that. So we're trying to talk a little bit more about the goddess and, mm-hmm. and figure out how to integrate some of those abstract ideas in our everyday life.
Do you think that women in general are more balanced than men when it comes to that left brain, right brain?
Well, actually, women are really out of balance. And I'm just not going to say women. It's all of us.
Of course,
our culture is, we're so focused on the things that aren't really nurturing us. Physiologically, though, I will say, and this is something that just comes to mind, and I talk about it, actually, when I talk about balance, and I've written many articles on the subject, but balance for women is, I think, really utilizing that left side, right side perspective.
Okay.
And to know that, you know, we have to appreciate that we're more than just the analysis and the logic and everything, the calculative and the quantitative part of us. We also need to integrate that intuitive and holistic side. And women are just so very good at that. I think we haven't learned to appreciate that within ourselves, and certainly not as a culture in general.
Mm-hmm. So not only are you academic, you're also psychic, because I was going to ask you, do you think women are attentive, or they're aware of, or they're conscious of the goddess that's within them?
We are so amazingly intuitive. And I think that appreciation has been squashed over the centuries. Men certainly have an intuitive side, too.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that we haven't learned to utilize that in our decision-making. And there's been a lot of work lately, well, not lately, just maybe in the past 5, 6, 7 years, more books, certainly coming out for the corporate community, about how managers are starting to learn that they can harness the power of their intuition and rely upon it more, which has been a traditionally female quality,
mm-hmm.
And use it to rely on it to make better decisions that would affect the finances and strategies of big company decisions and so forth.
Sometimes I think, and I don't know whether you have thought about this or not, or would agree with it, but sometimes I think that, you know, evolution has taken away what we call an animal's instinct. Maybe instinct and intuition are on the same continuum. It's just that we don't trust that piece anymore. I mean, some people do, obviously, and the more developed the person is, or they develop themselves, they do trust their intuitions more. But it is difficult to do that. But I think that intuition feels like what an animal does with instinct. Is that so or not?
Well, yeah, but think about it this way. I think that we're searching in this type of environment that we live in. We don't understand that truth is different than proof. And we're constantly looking, and this is especially true with people who have diseases, and they're saying, oh, you know, there's a 25% chance that I'm going to not survive this
right.
particular disease or whatever. And we're so dependent upon numbers to make a case for our belief system that we've really divorced ourselves from surrendering to an inner truth.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we call that instinct or intuition or connectivity with the divine, this concept that there's a quality out there that propels us and moves us through life when we can just rely upon it more readily and accept it.
Mm-hmm. Well, surrendering to a lot of people feels like you're giving up control, but what you're saying, you're actually taking control by surrendering.
Absolutely. And we are allowing more space for growth when we spend a little less time controlling and a little more time surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say we're going to roll over and give up
of course.
And say, you know, life's going to just take control and I'm nothing. That's a very small point of view many people get comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why lately we are interested in talking more and more about the power of the mind and how the mind can direct our experiences, and when we learn to trust that, we have so much more opportunity for a robust experience.
Mm-hmm. The role of women in society traditionally has been the caretaker or the caregiver in some sense. Do you think that that's changing? I mean, are the girls that are being raised today, do they have that same sense of providing and taking care of and caretaking that perhaps, I grew up with or maybe even your generation grew up with?
I think that we've flip-flop. Every generation, it seems to flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mine, I think we rejected the 50s stay-at-home model. You know, we wanted to go out and prove ourselves, and it was so comical, actually, Nick. When I looked at pictures of myself in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
we had these gigantic shoulder pads in our... Do you remember this?
Of course.
And the clothing was very loud, and we walked around like these giant robotic women. And you know what? There's a big metaphor to that, in my opinion. I thought about that once. We were trying so much, and as I said, rejecting our mother's caretaker and nurturing and focus on the family and saying, this is how we're going to go out and make an institute change in the world. So we carried so much on our shoulders. We learned to strap these babies on our backs, smoke cigars, play squash and golf with the guys, and just, you know, let it go.
Right.
And I think that in this next generation, I'm seeing, because I interview a lot of people lately for employees, so I'm seeing a lot of women come in my office. And I'll tell you, the ones in their 20s, early 20s, they're learning that the staying at home and spending the time nurturing the family is really a very strong and important part of our culture. It's the way we build communities. Mm-hmm. It's the way we pass this wondrous knowledge base on of technology and values and so forth. And I think they're less inclined than we are to say, I'm going to go out and prove myself and take my success in the corporate world and make that the model of my success.
Well, that's amazing. Charlene, then we have a minute before we take a break. Tell everyone how they can get a copy of your book.
It's available at Borders, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and on our website, www.thegoddessnetwork.net.
Okay, sounds good. We're going to be back with Charlene Proctor in just a moment, folks. We're talking about her book, Let Your Goddess Grow, 7 Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. Now, you know, you're listening to Straight Talk here on the Voice of Berks County, WEEU. We do this every Saturday at 4 o'clock. And then really the beauty of this show, and I've said this before, is that after the show airs, you'll be able to go to our website and listen to this interview in case you've missed one part of it. You don't have to worry about that because you'll be able to listen to it again and again at WEEU.com and just click on the icon that says Straight Talk. And there I am with this interview as well as others I've done over the years. We're going to take a short break for a few messages, folks. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back to Straight Talk. Welcome on in if you're just joining us here on the Voice of Berks County, WEEU. And we do this every Saturday at 4 o'clock. I try to bring you the very best in talk radio with authors and guests from all over the country and the world. And today we're visiting with Charlene Proctor, and she's the author of Let Your Goddess Grow. I love the title. It's a very powerful title. It evokes a lot of emotions in people when you hear something like that. And Charlene, can women be empowered and also at the same time be self-sacrificial? Or are they mutually exclusive terms, in your opinion?
Well, I would define an empowered woman as one who knows where her power comes from,
mm-hmm.
which is certainly the same thought I would have about the empowered man. Obviously, I don't think it's about your latest leadership position or how many steaks you can eat, how many miles you can run, whatever. It's about knowing where that power comes from and being able to reside within it to move life the way that we are meant to move it. A little abstract, but that's what I teach.
No, that's good stuff. So where does the power come from?
It comes from knowing who your authentic self is, which is the I am, or the God self,
mm-hmm.
or knowing that we are an individualized spark of creation. I teach this concept to women who come to my office and are from domestic violence scenarios. They've been drug abusers. They have come in hanging so low and without hope. And once they get that they are within that concept as something much larger than themselves, but that they are within it, essentially they are composed of it, they are able to feel more powerful, empowered, and unlimited, and can apply that across the board in every area of their life.
Well, how does somebody actually go about being authentic? I mean, that's what we throw these words around all the time, and we throw empowered around. You've helped us understand that. You've given us a somewhat of a definition of authentic, but how does one actually go about being authentic?
Well, maybe we should jump back to empowered. Let me clarify
that. Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, globally, empowerment is this condition. Let me go back. Global empowerment is different than how we think of it here in the United States. And when we think of empowerment globally, it's like this condition, and we're talking about women here, who can obtain equal educational, legal, political rights, the same as male citizens. They can own property. They can choose their careers. They have bodily rights and so forth. But here in Western culture in the U.S., empowerment means it's about giving validation to confirm your own importance and self-worth. When we think about empowerment here in the States, we're thinking about a woman who is feeling worthy and has a very healthy self-esteem level. So to me, the answer, I guess, in a roundabout way is always the same, is how do we get there? You know, it's about more self-help courses and personal growth, and let's take more self-inventory. Well, you know, all those things are important for us to develop a higher level of self-awareness,
mm-hmm.
which might, you know, have something to do with discovering this authentic self principle. But again, it's about understanding that we are individualized sparks of divine power, and to know that we are part of something that is unlimited. To mm-hmm. me, I tell you, it always comes back to that.
Mm-hmm. So is that's a universal principle in your mind?
I think so. I mean, to me, that's a spiritual principle. That is one of the fundamental assumptions anybody needs to have to begin to build an empowered existence,
mm-hmm.
an empowered outlook on what we do. And by saying that, I mean feeling as if your gift is being translated,
mm-hmm.
and coming through in every pore of your being, through your artwork, through your work as a customer service representative, or the person who hands you the dry cleaning, you know, every week down the street, to be able to feel that your gift is coming through you. To me, that's another point of being empowered. And yeah, there's some tricks and techniques we can do, and a lot mm-hmm. of it's about deprogramming the past.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second here, but how much of what you're saying, how much of the ability to feel empowered or to manifest empowerment is culturally related? I mean, do you think women that live in the Middle East have the same sense of empowerment that you're saying American women might want to have?
Well, a cultural conditioning. You know what? I'll tell you. A lot of women don't feel divine and sacred.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tough time with this because they don't see themselves in images of God.
Right.
And this divine feminine principle that we've all been talking about since the Da Vinci Code made a big splash, it's when you really study it, it's been squashed and reformatted, and a lot of religions use a male reference system, and women generally don't believe that they are divine, and it's very difficult to challenge religion. That seems like a very big hurdle for most people to overcome. But I'll tell you, it's the final barrier between a woman being able to create her own reality. Absolutely, I believe that.
It's the final barrier between a woman being able to create her own reality.
I to be able to open your heart as fully as possible. To me, if we can't internalize this idea that we are spirit,
mm-hmm.
Embodied spirit, which it, to me is part of this whole balance equation that we were talking about earlier.
Are we to be spiritually vulnerable in some way?
Oh, I don't think so. And, you know, truthfully, if we're going to ascribe traditional terms to masculine spirit or God the He,
right,
or feminine embodied spirit or goddess the She, neither one of those principles, and if you think about it very abstractly, can exist without being in perfect balance with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to be empowered, and especially as women, we have to understand that we are in this immanent existence. That principle is equally as important as the transcendent. They both work congruently together to provide us this wonderful vehicle,
mm-hmm.
That we call the soul journey. And I think over time, thousands of years, we've diminished the importance of this experience, this physical experience or this incarnation, however you may define it in your own wisdom tradition, that we are somehow negating that. And when you go back and you read a lot of material about the feminine principle and the goddess and to get to the real deep meaning of that, it really just represents our physical journey here on the planet. That's really what it means. And the missing piece to that for most people is that we are to live a life in balance. We are to recognize that we are both simultaneously, and that is a hard thing to do every day when you're going to work and dealing with kids and relationships and buying the groceries. I mean, it is really difficult mm-hmm. to say, I'm going to realize my, you know, Christ consciousness when I'm driving down the street. It's a tough thing to do, but it can be done.
Exactly. I mean, people in the past, I don't know whether that's still true or not, would see that you have to, once you get everything done for everyone else, then there's time for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in general, how do you balance the needs that other people have, let's say people that you love in your life, your family, maybe your spouse or mate or whatever, versus the needs that you have? How does somebody actually practically do that to get themselves, in a sense, empowered from what you're telling us?
I make a lot of lists.
You do? Really? Okay.
And I hand them out to everyone.
So it's there's a practical way of doing it.
It's trying to be as self-aware as we possibly can and to really be able to look at ourselves as an observer of life. Do you remember that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?
Sure.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I thought it was incredible. I loved
it. Well, there was a lot in there about being the observer.
Mm-hmm.
And when this came out for mainstream, everybody thought that was so abstract and bizarre. But after a couple of years of hearing this over and over again is to be self-aware, be the observer of your own life,
mm-hmm.
and learn where you can observe these behaviors that are reactions from the past, for example, and learn to get rid of those things in your life, you will be operating when you're more self-aware and acting as the observer of your own life. I think be able to get more, you know, make that state of mm-hmm. balance and empowerment, certainly it becomes more tangible. I know it does for me.
Well, so in that context of that movie, in a sense, the observer on some level affects the observed.
It's us.
Right. So if you're doing introspection and you're observing, you're the observer and the observed, you have to necessarily make a change.
Absolutely.
If you're aware of it. I mean, if you're really looking into it that way. It seems like that to me anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's
the whole principle of living an unconscious life. I mean, when we're just kind of plodding along and we don't know why we're thinking a certain way, reacting a certain way, when we're rehashing, you know, the same conversations in our mind from 10 years ago Christmas dinner when our sister-in-law said something to us that offended us or
right,
whatever.
Right, exactly.
We're operating on old mental programs. And, of course, physiologically, that opens a whole can of worms
mm-hmm.
because we're emitting a chemical reaction in our physical bodies to something that's going on in our mind because we're experiencing and re-experiencing that emotional reaction in our mind.
So, in a sense, the past never gets to stay the past. We keep bringing it back, and so it stays present and kind of reignites the same feelings we had from the first time that it happened to us.
I'll tell you, resentment and unforgiveness are absolutely the two worst things that we can possibly have in our experience every day. And old emotions that no longer serve us well, things like messages we're playing in our mind where people have led us to believe that we are unworthy or blemished or sinful, any of this stuff is old programming. And for us to take charge, and that's the thing that's difficult for people because we so much want someone else to step in and do it for us. We never want to do that work all by ourselves. It's
sure.
so hard to do. But to live in an aware life, in a conscious life, we absolutely must address those issues and learn to take that self-inventory to get to be in balance by being by somebody who knows by being the observer of our own lives that we're on a productive path.
Is that negative thinking the thing that keeps people stuck? I mean, how do you overcome that negative program? You said a lot of this stuff comes from our past and the way we've been, you know, we've been raised. And how does one overcome that when you're using the very person that has the issue to try to overcome it? That self-awareness piece is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and to mainly release. Just release and let go so much easier. And I'll tell you, once a person gets the hang of it, it's a very hard yet simple idea both at the same time, which makes it so darn frustrating. If we're going to move from a victim mentality to one of self-confidence and power, we absolutely have to live in the present moment. Today is the day. That is such a simple mantra, but I'll tell you, your power comes from the present moment, not the past and rehashing old things and certainly not the future. We have to absolutely make more appreciation for why the present moment is so powerful and to learn how to consciously create your day. And getting back to what to bleep, do you remember, Nick, in that movie when Joe Dispenza had that interview. Do you remember that?
I can't say that I do, Charlene, because it's been a long time. I saw it the first time it was out and haven't seen it since then.
Well, it was really neat. And he basically was describing in the film, because in the film, as you remember, there were lots of interviews
with
quantum physicists and philosophers and religious experts and so forth. And anyway, Joe talked about how he consciously creates his day. And it was by far the most important lesson, I think, in that entire film, because what he was saying is that before he even gets out of bed, and I actually do this as much as humanly possible, before those feet hit the floor, I find 10 things to be grateful for.
Wow.
And I also visualize my day, and I say, I am filled with calmness and power and joy and everything in the present tense. And I'll tell you, on the days that I do it, I am so much more receptive to opportunity. Somebody will walk into the office, or there'll be a phone call, or something just seems to go right. And it's about learning to be centered.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We have to take a break, and we'll be right back with you, Charlene. Folks, we're talking to Charlene Proctor, the author of Let Your Goddess Grow, 7 Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. You can get a copy of her book by going to your favorite bookstore. And, of course, you can go to her website for more information. And her website is thegoddessnetwork.net, thegoddessnetwork.net. We're going to take a short break for some messages. We'll be back with more talk with our great guest, Charlene Proctor. You're listening to Straight Talk here on the Voice of Berks County, WEEU.
on and I can't get right. Had a little date with my baby last night. Well, it's early in the morning.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Welcome on in if you're just joining us. Having a great conversation, a fun conversation with our guest, Charlene Proctor. I just want to remind everybody, just in case you're just starting to tune in or maybe you caught the last part of our last segment here, don't worry about that. You'll be able to go to our website in a little while, be able to listen to this show again. You just go to WEEU.com and click on the icon that says Straight Talk, and you'll be able to listen again and again. We'll have a link for Charlene's website, which is the GoddessNetwork.net. You'll be able to listen and go get more information from her, or you can go directly to her website on your own. Anyway, I'm enjoying the conversation, and Charlene, we're back with you. Charlene, how important is being grateful for what you have in life?
Well, if we talk about it in the perspective of the law of attraction, which is a very hot topic lately.
Absolutely.
If we're more grateful and we express more gratitude in our lives for the things that we like, what's the universe going to give us? More things to be thankful for, right?
Well, that's the thought, isn't it?
It is. And to me, it makes perfect sense, because no matter what we put out there, we are emitting a vibration or a resonance for something. We want to be that which we think. And if we're thinking of things to be thankful for, we're going to attract more of those things in our lives, and we'll see more of it. And I'll tell you, I make it a habit now. When I get in the shower, boy, I'm giving you all my secrets
here
today. I call it the shower of gratitude.
Wow,
I know that it sounds so silly, but it's a wonderful way to begin the day, and it's simple and easy, and you know you have to take a shower, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But to imagine the shower of gratitude, the 5 or 7 or 10 minutes that you spend in there, to just let that be a metaphor for the goodness of life coming down on you and showering you with absolute wonder. And I'm sure that everybody can find at least 5 things to be thankful for.
Well, that was my next question, because I'm sure some people listening to the show are saying, oh, look, Charlene, that's nice of you to say that, but this is what's going wrong. This is what's going wrong. I'm not in good health. How do I find a joy, gratitude, and gratefulness in the things that have been given to me?
Well, the energy flows where attention goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a mantra I've had lately.
Sure.
And I think it's about resetting. You know, it's like not resetting your mind to the positive channel. Some people who may be a little cynical have trouble doing that, but literally rebooting your system. Wipe those old icons off the screen.
Sure.
And replace this with more of an attitude towards having clarity and passion. Do you remember Emmett Fox? He was a New Thought minister from the 40s. And he wrote a lot of very interesting books, very simple. And the one thing I like about the work that he did, and he wrote a lot about prosperity and abundance, and I like that subject because I actually did write about that, Let Your Goddess Grow.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that you can't manifest something in your life without those principles. Number one, to have absolute clarity about what you want. You need to plunge and take a swim into the vision of what you want, whether that's better relationships or a new job or better health. You have to be very clear what it is about what you want. And my mom used to say, what's that old expression? If you don't know what road you're on, anyone will get you there.
And, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, is that, did I
don't
say
know that
right?
One. I don't know that one.
Well, it means that if you don't know where you're going, you'll just keep wandering around because you won't really ever reach your goal.
Right.
So clarity. And the second half of that is the passion. And he talked about passion, and nowadays we talk about emotional feeling that's associated with that vision of what we want. And there's an exercise, I guess I would say, to anybody in your audience who's struggling so much with health or not really being able to get what they want and to experience the things that they really want and need, is to go home and make a visioning board.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done this?
I've done visualizations in my mind, but never
well,
what
I'll
you're suggesting.
You, this is a powerful and very simple exercise, and I've done it myself, is to just get a big piece of cardboard and to articulate with pictures, just cut out of a magazine and words, the vision of what you want to experience. And I did this for work. I put health and relationships, all kinds of things. And this board is very personal when you're done with it. Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of cryptic. But the point of it is, and this gets back to Emmett Fox's lesson, is that when you look at that board that you've created with all of these images and words and phrases, you are able to feel what it's like to be in that. And that's the passion part of it. And that is what's essential when we want to demonstrate or manifest something in reality. So my long-winded answer, being the good philosopher that I am, is that if you want to change your life, you better have clarity and passion and be willing to sink yourself in those ideas regularly.
Well, now, Charlene, do you actually have to ask for it? I mean, is asking the universe for something, or as we talked about earlier, let's say from The Secret, like the Law of Attraction, do you actually have to ask for it, or does the universe intuit that you need something, or do you actually have to put it out there?
I think the asking is about creating the thought behind it. Now, I'll tell you, I've been on my knees quite a bit in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there is such despair, and no one is exempt from this. I mean, this is part of life, is to experience the full gamut, the full range of emotions, from grief and fear and despair all the way to ultimate joy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is supposed to be part of our human experience here. There's no way to get around that. We all have to go through that. And what was the question? I forgot.
And now I forgot as well.
The asking.
Yes. Do we need to ask the universe for what we want, or does the universe somehow intuit that we know that?
Yeah. So for me to ask to be excused from fear and despair, and worry, it's okay to do that and to rely upon your wisdom tradition, but the impulse needs to be thinking, feeling, and action.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be putting that thought out. And remember, you can't really do that effectively until you know that you are unlimited substance.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of broadcast this thought in either, you know, kind of like a mental visual, and feeling, experiencing the passion for that change and the thing that you want, not to dwell on what you don't want, but to focus on what you do, and then take the action and to show the universe that you are serious about, you already know that you will be in receipt of this.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of going through the motions until it comes around. And it's tough for a lot of folks to do this.
Well, we're not taught to do that. We're not really encouraged to do that. It's like the basketball player that uses visualization to put the ball in the basket. The basketball player who knows what he's doing continues to see the ball going in the basket before it goes in. And that's exactly what you're saying to us. You have to already have manifested in your mind for it to be manifested in reality, I guess.
Well, did you know that the brain doesn't really care if you're experiencing something in real life? The brain is getting the same reaction from mentally experiencing something that you are if you do it in real life, and there's no difference there. I mean, this is scientific proof that to me is just absolutely wonderful news for people to realize that. There have been all kinds of studies, especially these guys that put our athletes that go to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get them to close their eyes and visualize their race, whether that's the luge or the, you know, what's that thing, the four-man bobsled?
The bobsled, yeah.
What is that thing? You have that out your way, right?
We have bobsleds, yeah.
Yeah. Or the ski run or the race. And they've found that when the athletes are doing this mentally, the biochemical reaction in the body is the same. And I'll tell you, There's so much evidence out there. We don't want to finally accept it, that we are so much in charge of creating our world just by how we think
mm-hmm.
and how we feel.
Charlene, this is such good stuff. Tell everybody again how they can get a copy of your book.
Well, Borders and Barnes & Noble,
mm-hmm.
Amazon.com. There's many, many internet venues out there that'll have it, or you can go to our website at thegoddessnetwork.net.
Mm-hmm. We have about 4 minutes just to let you know where we are left in the show. And, you know, the subtitle of your book is Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. Can you give us a little taste of what some of those lessons may be?
The seven spiritual lessons are insight, which is about letting go of fear and self-doubt and guilt and how we adopt new attitudes on change.
Mm-hmm.
Balance, which is a few little factoids on the brain and why women manage problems and challenges very differently than men. And for men, I always say, this helps understand why women cannot think like you, but the way that we problem solve is no less effective.
Sure.
Resiliency is another spiritual lesson in the book, and mm-hmm. that's about how starting over is simply an ongoing job and how to make a comeback when things get tough.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about the authentic self and more clearly and deeperly.
That's a good word. I like that word. You just coined a new word for
us. Making up words. Why not?
Sure.
What the I am is and why we are unlimited beings. Abundance is a spiritual lesson,
mm-hmm.
and that's really important. Everyone's interested in how to be more prosperous and the techniques that we can do in our own lives mm-hmm. to practice clarity and interest, as I was talking about Emmett Fox. And then corporate soul, about the workplace, and then the divine feminine. And who really is the goddess, and what does that mean, and what that might mean if we reintroduce some of the principles there for mm-hmm. everyone and how powerful that might be.
What do you say for people who want to set their girls on the right path? What do you do for women who want to help empower their girls from the very beginning?
I would say that, first of all, there needs to be a complete deprogramming from what these young girls are seeing in the media about what a healthy body is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody would truly disagree with me there.
I don't think they can.
And we are meant to live in a material culture. I mean, this is part of our existence. And we're actually, one of our lessons is to learn how to manage that properly and to find the good in that. So we don't want to negate our material existence. We don't want to negate our bodies. We don't want to, say that the body is insignificant. I think that there needs to be more glory and appreciation. These girls need to learn to fully realize that they're beautiful just as they are and to quit punishing themselves. And I think it's a really big problem with these teen girls, and I hope to do some work in that.
Well, Charlene, we're going to have to let it go there because the time has gone by really quickly with us. Thanks for being our guest today on Straight Talk. We certainly appreciate you being here with us.
You're very welcome.
Okay, stay on the line. I'll be right back with you, okay? All right, folks, that was Charlene Proctor. Beautiful story. Good book. Great book. Let Your Goddess Grow. It's a book for everybody, even though it's written primarily for women. It is a book for everybody. So why don't you get a copy? Go to her website at thegoddessnetwork.net or go to your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Borders. In the meantime, folks, until the next time we're together, take care of yourselves. Come back and visit with me again next Saturday here on the Voice of Berks County, WEEU. This is Nick Lawrence, and as always, I'll see you on the radio.